ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి మీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside. So welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside. That was a small interruption. Today is July 19th, 2018. The mega festival of Guru Purnima is just a week away. And people have already started streaming into Prashantinilayam. In fact, this festival marks in a way the beginning of the Prashantinilayam festival calendar, as this is the first major festival after the new students have joined the various campuses of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So the buzz during Guru Purnima every year is always very different, very special, and you have all the important functionaries of the various trusts of Bhagwan, the central trust as well as all the state trusts and the international Sai organization coming to Prashantinilayam, all are present for this occasion. And in the earlier years, we know how Bhagwan used this occasion to announce new initiatives of the central trust and so on. So Puttaparthi always is filled with devotees. It's one of those major festivals at Prashantinilayam when, you know, you would find the ashram overflowing with people. No one wants to miss the darshan of the Sadguru on this beautiful occasion of Guru Purnima, on this sacred day. In fact, this reminds me of a powerful incident that happened during Guru Purnima of 1971. As always, you know, Swami was extremely busy attending to the thousands of devotees who had gathered. And during this period, one morning when Mr. B.V. Ramana Rao went up to Swami's room, he saw that Swami's robe was wet with sweat. Swami was looking visibly very tired. In fact, Swami had a late lunch that day because he was busy all morning personally distributing Tirtham, the sanctified water, and granting Padmaskaram to at least 2,000 lucky souls. Once Bhagwan started this at 8:30 a.m, Swami did not stop until everyone had their share of the special blessing, and he continued to walk non-stop for almost 3 hours, bending and pouring the Amritam, the Tirtham, with a silver spoon. The aromatic ambrosia, you know, went into every cupped hand or mouth, and, you know, one after another, Swami did that for almost more than 2-3 hours. So for the devotees, yes, it was a unique gift of darshan, sparshan and prasadam. And the one who had the opportunity to hold the silver bowl and walk behind Swami was Mr. Raman Rao. In fact, Swami had told him the previous night itself to inform every person in Prashantinilayam, whether they were washermen, cooks, elderly devotees, disabled residents, inmates, whoever, car drivers, all of them should be in the mandir by 8:30 a.m. the next morning. So this is what Mr. Raman Rao had communicated to all. And so Swami filled everyone's heart with that blessing of darshan, sparshan and tirtham. And once the distribution concluded, Swami again inquired with Mr. Raman Rao if there was, you know, anyone who had missed. And only when Swami was completely satisfied, you know, Raman Rao sir went and checked in the crowd. Everyone said they have received it. And only after that, Swami went back to the interview room. And then Swami asked Raman Rao sir to, you know, cup his hands, and then Swami gave the blessing to him also. And as he was doing that, you know, Raman Rao sir gave kerchief to Bhagwan. In those days, he used to walk behind Swami and offer the kerchief to Bhagwan whenever he saw, you know, Bhagwan was tired. So he did that, and Swami took the white linen and, you know, he wiped his face and gave it back to him. And then, you know, so he saw Swami wiping his sweat and all that, and then Bhagwan retired. So Ramana Rao sir had seen, you know, how strenuous it was for Bhagwan that morning. And in those days, along with Ramana Rao sir, one Mr. Khyaldas also used to assist Swami during darshans, you know, by holding letters, carrying the vyuti bag and so on. And they would be there morning and evening. So every afternoon he would be there by 3 PM waiting for intimation from Swami to go upstairs. So that day, you know, he thought that Swami will rest a little, because until 12 he was busy with devotees unlike other days. So he thought, you know, he would come little later for darshan. So in any case, he was there at 3 PM as he would do every day. So he was walking into the interview room quite leisurely, because he thought, you know, Swami would not be ready. So, but as soon as he stepped in, you know, he was summoned to Swami's room. And even though he thought Swami would be resting and probably darshan would be postponed or something, Swami, he saw, was already ready. He was not, forget resting, he was fully ready. He was eager to step out. In fact, Swami said, "I have been waiting for you since 2:30 PM. General Ramana Rao sir would go by 2:33, but, you know, on that day he went casually, happily after 3, because he thought, you know, Swami would be resting. But yes, Swami is telling, "I am waiting. I've been waiting for you since 2:30 PM. That's why the moment he stepped in, Swami called him. So that was quite a jolt for Ramana Rao sir. And, you know, so he went to Bhagwan, he sat at his feet, and, you know, then he started massaging Bhagwan's feet and all that. And then, you know, he said, "Bhagwan, Swami, you already had a busy morning. In fact, you had your lunch so late. You are so tired. And now again, you are about to go out, Swami. Swami, probably you should take little time and rest, Swami. Maybe you should relax a little." You know, because he had seen the kind of physical strain that Swami went through in the morning. So he thought, you know, he could not contain himself, you know, from not making this prayer to Bhagwan. And, you know, even as he was thinking thus, you know, Swami told him, "Hey, you go down. I'm wait. We'll go out for darshan. And then he said, "No, Swami, please don't go out for darshan this evening, Swami. You can take at least some more rest." And the moment he uttered the word rest, Swami said, "Rest? Rest is rust. Have you ever seen me taking rest? Change of work is rest," Swami said. For Swami, devotees are always first. He knows no rest when he sees devotees. Devotees are always first. And for Ramana Rao sir, Swami was always first. Even Ramana Rao sir had not rested, even though he was busy with Swami in the morning. He was there first, you know. For Ramana Rao sir, Swami is first. For Swami, devotees are first. For Ramana Rao sir, service is first. Swami is first. And serving Swami is the rest for him. That is rest and best for him. You know, that was his life. And, you know, because he had seen how for Swami, devotees meant everything. And so that's why, you know, for him, Swami and service was always first. And Swami has tested this also on so many occasions, you know. Is really rest for Ramana Rao the best of Swami's devotees? For him, what is best for Swami's devotees is rest for him. That is how it was. And Swami has tested him. Lovely anecdotes telling us how an exemplary devotee should be, how an exemplary servitor of the Lord should be. In the earlier episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, for over 15 episodes, we talked about the story of Mrs. Ratanlal, a diamond of a devotee. And it was such an uplifting experience for me doing that program. And I was also so overwhelmed with the responses that we received. So many people wrote to us saying that, you know, it helped them to deepen their love and understanding of Swami and His ways and His love, and be more steadfast on the spiritual path. So after reading all those responses, you know, I thought maybe it is good to talk about the stories of the servitors of Bhagwan. And thanks to those words of encouragement and inspiration from Bhagwan, I thought, let us now dwell on the life of this exalted devotee, Mr. B.V. Raman Rao. And both Mrs. Ratan Lal and Mr. Raman Rao left the mortal coil just about the same time in 2017. March 12th was when Ratan Lal Amma left, and March 14th is when Raman Rao sir merged with Bhagwan. It was quite a severe loss to the Sai fraternity. Both of them were personally shaped by Swami, and they rose to be incredible servants of the Lord, incredible examples of what is service to the Lord, incredible inspirations to the youth about how one should dedicate their life to the Lord. In the future episodes, in the coming episodes, I will share a lot more, so much about, you know, the life of Mr. Raman Rao. You will see how for him Swami was always first, come what may. Losing job, losing position, losing money, losing family, losing respect, anything does not matter. Swami first. In fact, many years ago, when Bhagwan was in Hyderabad and Swami told him, "Hey, Raman Rao, I'm coming to your home this evening." Immediately, Raman Rao said, "Swami, please, Swami, why you want to come to my home, Swami? Please go out to the ground, Swami, and give darshan there. So many people are waiting. So many more people will benefit. If you come to my home, there will be just 2-3 people who will benefit with your darshan and sparshan, Swami. Please go and spend time with the devotee, Swami. That is even better." That is how Raman Rao sir was. That is where his heart always was. And this he said, you know, without even batting his eyelid. Because he knew that Swami's heart was always with the devotees, and he had learned where his heart always should be. Swami first always, SFA. That was his mantra. Service first always, SFA. That summarizes what Raman Rao sir's life was, and there are so many instances, and we will be unraveling his life in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. In fact, apart from being the first Sevadal to be appointed by Swami way back in the 60s, he was later on the Sevadal coordinator for the state of Andhra Pradesh and the state president of Sri Satya Sai Organizations Andhra Pradesh. And later on, till he was past 80 even, Swami wanted him to be the national Sevadal coordinator. You know, that position was for him, and Swami never wanted anyone else to occupy that position. Even though he had, you know, he was almost past 80, 85, Swami said no. That position only he should be there, even though there are a lot more active people who are doing the work, but as far as that position was concerned, for Swami, Raman Rao sir should be in that position. That is how much he meant for Swami. And if you look at his life, you will know how the life of a Sai Sevak should be. It's a fantastic illustration of how one should lead one's life once he or she says that I'm dedicating my life to Swami. Even when he had crossed 90, he refused to take help from others. He would do everything himself, never complain about anything, even if his health, you know, was becoming a bit frail, no complaints whatsoever. In fact, in the ashram we have the battery operated car, and you know, when someone would say, "Sir, you know, maybe you can use that, you know, to come to Mandir," and you would say, "Oh no, 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 that is for old people." He was 90 and he would say, "No, that is for old people." And that was his mental state, his mental agility. In fact, even after Bhagwan left, you know, so many senior people, they went back to live with their children, you know, in cities, in comfortable environments. But Raman Rao sir, just like Mrs. Ratan Lal, he never moved out of Prashanthi Nilayam. This is his home. This is the place of his master. This is the place which belongs to him. He never moved out, even though, you know, his children were there in Hyderabad and other cities and they were calling him. He said, no, I am not going to go from Prashantam. In fact, he took up a new responsibility. He became the editor of the Sanatan Sarthi Telugu edition in July 2011. And he continued to serve in this capacity till his end in March 2017. He was working diligently. In fact, not many in Sai fraternity until that moment knew that he's actually also a man of literature. People always saw him as a man of action, because he was there during every festival in Prashantalam, every event connected to Swami's mission. He was always there behind the scenes. Unless Swami calls him, he would never go in the front. But he would be there looking after the crowd, looking after their food, looking after their accommodation. Nobody needed to tell him to do anything. Swami's devotees are like, they are limbs of his body. That's how he would feel. But not many knew that he had actually written many books of short stories. So even before he had become a devotee, he was known for his literary skills as well. But all that talent he started putting to use after his body slowed down, after he crossed 85. Now he took up this responsibility of being the editor of Telugu Sanatan Sarthi, and he brought in very beautiful changes, lovely changes in this ashram magazine. So there is so much to learn from Mr. Raman Rao, and I'm really grateful to Swami that, you know, we are embarking on this lovely journey. So to continue the story from where I left off, so when he asked Swami to take rest, Swami says, rest is rust. Have you ever seen me taking rest? Change of work is rest. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, in all the three worlds, there is no duty binding on me. There is no need for me to undertake any task. I am under no compulsion to do anything. Yet, I am always engaged in constant activity. The Lord is beyond the karmic cycle. He has no obligation to busy himself with anything, but he works incessantly on his own volition, only for others' welfare. And Mr. Raman Rao, I remember talking to him, you know, while recalling that moment when Bhagwan said, change of work is rest. Swami said, when Swami said that, have you ever seen me taking rest? Mr. Raman Rao told me, I can tell you with firm conviction, Swami never sleeps. God never sleeps. He said, you know, I was fortunate to sleep inside Swami's room for 28 days in 1993. And he said, I would be lying down perpendicular to Swami's cot, and I have never seen Swami sleep. Even in the middle of night, if I went out to use the restroom, Swami would be watching. Swami would be alert. He would be active 24 hours. I would never see him just close his eyes and rest. This is what Raman Rao sir personally told me, because he had the opportunity to live with Swami in his room for almost a month in 1993. When you speak to such fortunate servitors of the Lord, you know, you learn about the ways of the avatar. And another very revealing moment Raman Rao sir shared was what happened in the Guru Purnima of 1976. Again, on that occasion also, Swami had spent the entire morning visiting the new houses that he had constructed for the Harijans, the economically most disadvantaged section of Indian rural societies. You know, they are called Harijans. Gandhiji gave that name. Harijan means the people of the Lord, people of Hari. So Swami had built new houses for them. What had happened was, there was a flood in River Chitravati and the waters had washed away the huts of all these poor people, and Swami had built permanent structures for them. And so that morning, Swami was distributing the houses to them, and Swami also had provided employment to every one of them by giving them some work or the other in the ashram premises. So that morning, Swami was going to each family, assuring them that, you know, he's always with them, he would look after their welfare and all that. So of course, all those hapless people were delighted. And Swami was more delighted than them. Swami was ecstatic. He reveled in their happiness. He spent nearly 3 hours with them, talking to them, moving from one house to another, listening to their woes, blessing an infant there, caressing a child there, and so on. And that afternoon, when Swami asked Mr. Raman Rao to go down and again wait for him, this time, you know, on this day, again, Raman Rao, sir, he just could not contain himself. He said, Swami, at least today, don't strain yourself more. You had such a long morning. He said, Swami, please don't venture out for darshan today. The moment he said this, Swami shot back. Swami said, you think all these people have come here for my darshan? You're telling me not to go for the darshan, but you think all these people have come for my darshan? Are they here so that they can see me? You're wrong. Absolutely wrong, Swami said. And Raman Rao was bewildered. I mean, he wondered, if all these people have not come for Swami's darshan, then, you know, why on earth have they gathered? Why have they come from so many places, far and near? Why are they waiting for him with so much patience if they have not come for his darshan? And he was trying to understand what Swami is trying to tell him. And then, you know, Swami said, it is I who is going to have their darshan. They have all come here at my sankalpa, at my instance, so that I can see them. And when they are waiting for me, how can I rest? And when Swami said this, that, you know, it is he who is going to have their darshan, devotee's darshan, Raman Rao sir thought, this is like too much, you know, this, it is pure exaggeration. He said, in Telugu, it is called Atishayokti. He said, Swami, this is Atishayokti. He didn't say it, but, you know, he felt that in his mind. How can Swami say that he is going to have devotee's darshan, you know? It sounds so quixotic. The moment that word came in his mind, Atishayokti, Swami turned to him on that split second and snapped at him with a piercing look. And Swami said, you think it is Atishayokti? You think it is exaggeration? And Raman Rao sir was shaken to his bones. Because, I mean, more than you know, what Swami was trying to convey, you know, the lightning speed with which Swami's omnipresence was functioning was totally, it left him speechless, dazed. His mind went blank, his muscles became still. And Swami said, when I go amidst the devotees, do you think I look at their bodies? I see their souls. When I see them, I see their past, I see their present, and I plan what I should do for their better future. It is unfortunate that you look at me as the one with this body. And then Bhagwan went on, every time I speak, I address you as Divyatma Swarupalara. Do you think I do this to simply praise you and please you? Divyatma Swarupalara means embodiments of divine Atma. I always address you as Atma. Do you think I see this simply to please you or praise you? You are all Atmas, and that is how I always see you. You are all Atmas. My advent is for my devotees, and I am a devotee of my devotees. This was the revelation that Bhagwan had made to Raman Rao sir. And I remember that morning when sir was narrating all this to me, it was, you know, he was saying it with so much of conviction. The whole scene had come alive, even though he was very old, and that energy was there. That emphasis with which Swami said he wanted, you know, that was pulsating in his body when he said that in his tiny room in Prashantinilayam. Because he had seen and he had heard from Swami directly, I am a devotee of my devotees, my advent is for my devotees. And that's what he had seen in Swami's life. And that is the reason why for Raman Rao sir, devotees, Swami's devotees meant everything. For Swami, devotees were first, and for Raman Rao sir, Swami was first. But if you look at his life, you know, before he reached here, a lot of things happened. The way Swami subtly, slowly, solidly cultured and nurtured his soul, you know, that is such a beautiful story. That's really a very, very dramatic very interesting, very scintillating story, in fact. But once he was convinced and once he was confirmed, then there was no looking back. All he wanted to do was just serve Swami. And not only serve Swami, you know, be an inspiration. He inspired scores and hundreds of Sevadal's youth, you know, and he could give his everything to Swami's mission and his work. Service was Swami for him. And Swami meant service. That's all. That is what his life was. In fact, I'm reminded of a very beautiful bhajan. Now, in this bhajan, you have this line, Dehi Tehi Tava Pada Seva. You know, you're pleading to the Lord, please give me. Once you realize who the Lord is, then you're all the time saying, Lord, give me that option. Give me that blessing. Give me that benediction just so that I can serve you. Such a life was the life of Raman Rao sir.
Pahi Mahesha He Jagadisha Pahi Mahesha He Jagadisha Dehi Pahi Mahesha He Jagadisha Purana Brahma Sanatana Swami Purana Brahma Sanatana Swami Jaya He Jaya He Antaryami Jaya He Jaya He Antaryami Pahi Mahesha He Jagadisha
So that is the beautiful bhajan Dehi Dehi Tavapada Seva. But you know, all that happened after he knew that Bhagwan is Purna Brahma Sanatana Swami. After he realized that he is the Antaryami, Jaihe Jaihe Antaryami. And how that happened is what is really very, very amazing. The way Swami brings and the way Swami knows which button to press in every heart. So this happened sometime in the 60s, you know, his first encounter with Bhagwan. But prior to that, you know, Mr. Raman Rao was someone who did not have much interest in religion or spirituality. You know, he was someone who did not subscribe to all these religious beliefs. So he was someone who just felt that, you know, all people are same, all people are equal. So he had all that socialistic approach to life, and he did not believe in religious practices, visiting the temple, prayers and all that. So in a way he was a bit of a radical to some extent. But he was not disrespectful to anything. He had his own opinions and he would keep that to himself. He didn't want to impose his ideologies and his views on anyone else. His wife was a very devout person, and you know, being from a Hindu house, so she had her own altar in the room, in the house, and she used to do her puja and all that. And Mr. Raman Rao never objected to that. But you know, nobody could compel him also to do any of those things. So even, you know, once during his perhaps sometime in the early 60s or late 50s, you know, someone told that, you know, there is a Swami who has come. So his wife told that, you know, one Sai Baba has come. So he said, okay, fine, you go. I don't want to see any Baba, no Swami and Baba. He told his wife, if you want, you go. So his wife went with his son. And then after his wife came back, he just asked, oh, so you had darshan? Are you happy? Everything is okay? He said, okay, that's all. So he didn't want to be engaged and associated with all these Babas and Swamis and all that. That is how his mindset was. In fact, even when the pujas used to happen at home, for example, if it was Ganesh Chaturthi, so he would help the family in whatever his wife wanted. But when actually the puja happened, you know, he would be sitting in the other room and he would be doing his writing or writing. He wouldn't be sitting for the puja and, you know, not interested in all those rituals and all that. And he was a man of very few words also, so you can't really engage him much in any conversation. So he was interested only in, you know, literature at that point in time. So he would just spend his time. So he used to write a number of stories, short stories, and they would all be focused about, you know, social reformation and how he viewed the society and all that. And in fact, he was also loved in the colony. In fact, in that housing colony where he stayed, he was made the association president because, you know, everyone liked his personality and all that. So even though he was not so interested to take up that position, he very reluctantly took up that position. And now, you know, there was in that community, in that locality, there was an old dilapidated temple, and all the colony people said, no, we have to renovate this temple, we have to make it something big and all that. So he didn't object to that. In fact, he wrote a few dramas, his social dramas, and he got them staged and he raised some funds and he gave it to Okay, well, fine, you do what you want. In fact, on the day of the temple inauguration, the Paramacharya of Kanchi had come and for the Kumbhabhishekam. And so during the Kumbhabhishekam, you know, everyone was looking for him because he's like contributed so much. He actually raised about 30,000 rupees. We are talking about 60s, very big amount. But he was not there anywhere around. He was somewhere in the crowd, lost in the crowd. You couldn't find him. So that is how he was. He was not interested in all these things, but he would help. Happy to help and happy to, you know, didn't want to impose his views, but he didn't want to come in the way of others' views. So that is how he was. And he always loved about, you know, equanimity of people and looking at everyone the same way, not having distinctions about, you know, rich, poor and all that. Highly privileged and, you know, someone to be looked down upon. So that was sort of his open-minded approach to life. And then eventually he did his graduation from Banaras Hindu University. So, you know, being that a Hindu university, you know, so perhaps, you know, some of those Hindu ideas got rubbed into him, but he was still... He found it really difficult to reconcile with what was in the environment there and his own thought process about socialism and all that. Somehow, there were a lot of questions that always were there within him. At the same time, you know, he was there looking after the family. He had a big family, 11 brothers and 4 sisters. So he was the second of the brothers. He was one of the elder members in the family, and his father was an engineer, and he had to tore a lot. So he with time became almost like a father figure, you know, as the, you know, one of the eldest sons in the house. So he used to look after the family, you know, and leadership came very easily to him. So everyone also looked up to him for advice. He was always very sound in giving advice and you know, taking decisions when it came to family. So everyone naturally came to him for guidance, whether it was, you know, his siblings. And so for everyone in the family, children and his grandchildren, you know, when actually he passed away, the grief was there in the family, in everyone, not only just his children or grandchildren, across his siblings' children, everyone felt for him. Because he had such a positive influence on all the members of the family. In fact, all his brothers and sisters used to come to him for guidance. Even as late as 2017, they always looked up to him. In fact, one of his sisters wanted to go to Dubai, and this was like in probably February or March 2017, and she came, and you know, even though sir was not well, sir shook hands with her and, you know, sir wished her well. So that is the kind of influence he had, and that's the respect he had in the family. We know how respected he was in the Sai community, but you know, he was not someone, okay, I'm going to work for Swami, so I have nothing to do with you, I have no connection with you in the family. He was not like that. He did everything that was his responsibility towards the family, towards you know, everyone, being an elder in the family, at the same time doing everything for Swami also. I mean, that was the beautiful combination that Mr. Raman Rao was. Such a fantastic personality. And not only that, you know, eventually he brought all the members of his family to Swami. All the 11 brothers and 4 sisters and their families, they all came to Bhagwan's fold, you know, inspired by his personality. And this good influence was there not only on his family, but also on his friends, because earlier his life was very different before he became a devotee. He is a very boisterous person. He had a lot of dynamism. You know, he has a fun-loving nature, and he also was into all those habits that youngsters get into, smoking, drinking, and all that. But once he came to Bhagwan, the positive influence that people saw in him, it got rubbed off on his friends too. In fact, some of his friends, they said, you know, if they had seen him 30, 40 years before, people who saw him later, they cannot believe that he has changed so much. Because what he was in the college and what he was in his early years when he was in his job, he was in his 40s, he was so different. In fact, on one occasion, one of his friends, he was now in one of the ashrams, in some mission, a missionary institution. And so that person sent word to him asking Mr. Raman Rao to come there. He wanted to see him. And Raman Rao immediately said that, you know, I don't go to any other ashram. I have nothing. I have no interest in any ashram or to meet any person, you know, after he had met Bhagwan. So, but they said, no. We are not asking him to go to any ashram. One of your friends, he knows you in person. He wants to see you. So he went there. And then he found out that, okay, that person was actually a classmate of his when he was doing his graduation in Banaras Hindu University. And when that person, you know, saw Mr. Raman Rao and the way he was, the way his thought process was, and the way he was leading his life then, that friend said, oh my God, if Satya Sai Baba can change you like this to such an extent, then he must be God. That is what was the response of his friend. So, just to give a glimpse about how he was before he became a devotee and a servitor of Bhagwan, and the amazing manner in which Swami has orchestrated this. So in 1966, you know, he was passing through one road in Hyderabad on his scooter, and then suddenly saw that there is a lot of crowd there on that place. Basically, it was the house of Dr. Burgul Ramakrishna Rao. Later on, Dr. Burgul Ramakrishna Rao became the governor of Uttar Pradesh and all that. At that point in time, he was definitely a distinguished personality there in Hyderabad, And he saw that a lot of people have gathered in front of his house, and you know, the people were overflowing from the compound of his house onto the road, and so there was no place for him to go, so he had no choice but to stop and park his scooter and wait for the crowd to clear. So then he asked someone, and they said, yeah, a Sai Baba has come from Puttaparthi to Dr. Ramakrishna Rao's house, and you know, he's going to leave now, so once he leaves, then you know, the road will be cleared. But then he was getting restless, what to do, you know, people are not clearing. And then meanwhile, more people came, and now more people, you know, as the numbers increased, you know, there was a lot of pressure to go front, you know, to accommodate the increasing number of people who were coming. So in that whole process, you know, he got pushed, and he got pushed into the compound of that house, because there are so many people coming behind. And there was a shamiana erected there, a temporary shelter there. Bhajans were going on, and the devotees were seated in rows. And, you know, so now he was there inside the compound, and he was right at the back of the compound. You know, he was almost sticking to the wall there. And he was just waiting for, you know, this Baba to come out. And then, you know, he just wanted to take his scooter and leave. Then suddenly Swami comes out. And then he sees that when, you know, Swami comes out, all faces light up with joy, and Swami is walking there, you know, as if floating in the air among the rows, and taking letters, blessing someone, talking to someone, and you know, someone was trying to touch his feet, and he was, you know, just blessing and all that. So he sees that scene of darshan, and he's seeing that Swami is also so short, like Dr. Burgal Ramakrishna Rao, and you know, orange attire, that crown of hair, that radiant face, and he had a nice smile, compassionate smile, and all that was good. And then people started shouting, you know, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba ki jai, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba ki jai. And then Swami got into the car, and Swami left, and all that. So in the whole process, he saw that, you know, he was standing with all these people, and he also inadvertently, unknown to him, he had also brought his hands together, and he had folded his hands. I mean, later on, he thought, oh, why did I do this? I mean, I don't even know this person, and why should I, you know, go to any Baba, Swami, and all that. So he thought, there is some charisma of this person. This person has some magic. You know, I don't know how I did what I did. In any case, so he forgot about all that. You know, okay, it was some interesting experience. That's all it was. And he said, I'm never going to see this Baba again. And so that's how that day passed. And so he had seen Baba, but, you know, he just wanted to sort of let it be and didn't want to think about it more, didn't want to take it further. It was nothing that, you know, had a life-changing impact on him or anything. It was just some interesting experience. And in those days, one of his very close friends was Mr. Desikachari. And Desikachari was like him, a jovial, fun-loving character. And, you know, even though he was much elder to him, both of them used to meet up weekends and many times even during the week. And because, you know, both of them are really well-placed and well-heeled. Ramanrao sir was the drug controller of Andhra Pradesh. Desikachari also was very well in a good position. So they used to meet at least twice or thrice a week, and you know, and they used to have their fun, drink, smoke, play cards and movies and everything. So that is how, you know, he always looked forward to meeting up with Desikachari and all that. And but for some reason, you know, for almost 2-3 weeks, Desikachari had not called him. And now, you know, he started to think, what happened to this guy? Why is he not calling me? So one day he calls him, you know, how are you? Not long time, no see and all that. And then he hears something which shocks him. He says, I heard the ominous news of his complete transformation. This guy has given up drinking, playing cards, smoking, and he's doing puja and bhajans daily. When Mr. Raman Rao sir heard that, he thought, oh my God, what has happened to my friend? Who has spoiled my friend? And so he calls him, and when Desikachari comes, he says, Ramana, my dear friend, for 10 years, I have to tell you this, for 10 years, because of my friendship, you know, you have accumulated so many sins, and I'm feeling so guilty now. I want to make amends for that evil influence that I have been on you. I want to make, you know, I want to repent for my mistake, and for this, I have to take you to Puttaparthi. I have to show you God. And Raman Rao sir, when he hears this, he said, what is all this? What has happened to you? What is all this madness? Puttaparthi, God, we were leading such a fantastic life. We were having so much fun. What is this that has come upon you? It was like too shattering for Raman Rao sir to see his friend become, you know, so different. He's becoming a saint. He was a normal guy and all that. But Mr. Dechikachari said, you are coming with me. We are going tonight by Venkatadri Express, that train. I have booked the tickets. We shall go to Puttaparthi. We will stay there for 2 days. You just pack up and you come with me. No arguments. I'm not going to listen anything. And Raman Rao did not have any choice because he was such a close friend. He wanted that guy's friendship. They had done so many things together. And there is no way he could say no. So he said, okay, fine, I will come. But one condition, once we come back, you don't preach me. Don't tell me, don't smoke, don't drink, don't play cards. I'm not going to do all that. I will just go with you and come back. You just want me to come with you, I'll do that. So his friend says, yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I will only show you God. That's all. Now, Raman Rao could not, you know, didn't want to argue with him. He said, anyway, he's such a good friend and, you know, just wanted to be with a friend and see what has happened and, you know, if possible, even get him back to his normal ways. So he said, okay, fine, I'll come with you. So they land in Puttaparthi the next morning at 10 o'clock. And, you know, in those days, Puttaparthi facilities were so minimal. Absolutely no accommodation. So basically they had to keep their luggage under a tree and you know, stay under the tree. And bhajans were starting at 11 a.m. And Swami was granting interviews to the second batch of devotees. You know, in those days Swami used to give batches after batches of interviews. And so he saw there were 100 people sitting there on the men's side and everyone was so quiet and no place, no restrooms in the ashram to bathe. You have to go outside the ashram, pay somebody, you know, some little money and you'll get some sort of enclosure where you can take bath. And for your morning ablutions, you have to go out into the river, go out into the field. So that is how the life was in Puttaparthi in those days. And so he came and he refreshed and he came back and then he sat along with all the people there. And Swami then came out after the first batch of interviews were done and he saw Swami was blessing all the people who are seated there. And then bhajan started, and when bhajan started, his friend Desikachari went inside the mandir, but he just sat outside. And then he saw, you know, some devotees who were inside the interview room. They came out and they came and sat next to him. Bhajans went on for 1 hour. And then Aarti happened, and then Swami went up to his room on the first floor of Prashantinilaya Mandir, and he saw there were 100 devotees sitting there after bhajans, and all eyes were glued to the first floor of the Mandir. He saw that 40-foot corridor between Swami's room and what they said his dining room. So people were waiting there to see Swami go to the dining room, which was on the other corner. So in those days, you could see Swami go in and out of his room. So all people were waiting there, and then he saw that Swami came and Swami waved to the people, and everyone is so enthralled looking at Swami and all that. So for 10 minutes, you know, people were so ecstatic that they could have one more darshan of Swami as he went for lunch. And then he was feeling hungry, so they said there is a canteen. So he went there, and in those days canteen, they would cook for like 40-50 people, that's all. And it was like a small shed. And there was one person by name Mr. Suraya. He was like 60 years old, 6.5 feet height, and he was looking like a wrestler. He was a very strong person, very, very intimidating person. And he saw that as he went to the canteen, there was another group that went before him, and there were almost a dozen people that went for eating. And immediately Suraya said, have you informed us? You are happily going inside the canteen for food? So these people said, no, we didn't know, we didn't inform. He said, okay, fine, you go in, you just give 3 rupees. So he took some money and he allowed them, and then Raman Rao sir went inside and he saw that, you know, food was very basic. And this person, Suraya, was there, you know, like a towering. If he opened his mouth, it could be heard miles away at the bus station. That is how loud he was and all that. So all that was like a very, very different experience. And so in the evening also, when he went for dinner, he asked him, can I have some curd if I give extra money? And immediately Suraya said, you have come to the ashram. Why are you craving for curds and cream and all that? Can you not live without it for a few days? This is how Suraya told him. So all this was like quite an unexpected experience for him. You live under trees, there are no facilities, food all is a problem. And then, you know, he found two people who had interview with Bhagwan during the day. So, you know, he asked them what happened, what Baba told you in the interviews, and both of them were from North India and they were speaking Hindi. And, you know, they started narrating whatever that had happened very exhilaratingly. So he said, you know, one person said, even before I could tell anything about me, Swami already told everything about me, my name and everything. And then Swami assured me that, you know, he would solve all my problems. Another person said that, you know, Swami created Vibhuti for me. Another person said that, you know, Swami created this locket with Harnath Baba. He was a devotee of Harnath Baba, that person. Swami created that locket and Swami gave it to him. I never told Swami that, you know, I am a devotee of Harnath Baba. So when he was hearing all these stories, and then he was asking everyone, tell me, did Swami ask for any money? Did he ask for any contribution, any donation? And all of them said, why are you even asking this? No, he's not like that. He does not ask money from anyone and all. So all that, you know, Raman Rao sir heard, and then he asked, does he speak Hindi? They said, yeah, he speaks enough Hindi for us to understand what he's saying. So all that made an impression on him. And so the next day afternoon, you know, he saw again another 200-300 people sitting there for darshan. And Desikacharya took him well in advance, you know, because Desikacharya was pining for an interview with Swami. And Swami came. There were 25 students from the Veda Pathashala. So they were also sitting there. And, you know, everyone was waiting, anticipating for Bhagwan, if Swami would call them. And Raman Rao was feeling like out of place there, because, you know, he didn't have any such aspiration like all the other people there wanting an interview with Swami or wanting to talk to Swami and all that. His friend was desperate, but, you know, he was feeling, where did I come? You know, I'm not interested in all these things. And for him, actually, he was afraid that Swami might call him. He was frightened with that thought, because he thought, if Swami calls me, then God knows what will happen. He will tell me, give up smoking, give up drinking, give up playing cards and all that. I can't do all this. He will tell me to start doing bhajans morning and evening. This is too much. He was hoping that, you know, Swami does not look at him, Swami does not talk to him. But at the same time, his friend, when he was looking at his friend was getting depressed that Swami is not talking to us. And he was feeling, Swami, at least you talk to him, let him feel happy. Why is he so depressed and dejected and all that? So that is what was bothering him. But as far as he was concerned, he just did not want Swami to do anything with him. He just wanted to go back. And again, you know, Swami took a few people for an interview. And he saw that Swami, as Bhagwan came near him, Swami took the person who was sitting beside him. But Swami did not look at him or his friend, Desikacharya. And Desikacharya now was completely disappointed. And, you know, looking at his disappointment, Raman Rao sir thought, at least Swami, please, you talk to him. Why? He should not feel so down. And now he also had felt that, you know, I think this Baba is avoiding us. In any case, you know, there was nothing that he could do. But as he was talking to more and more people who had interviews with Swami, he found that, you know, everyone was telling that Baba was telling them to be good and telling them to cultivate moral values. He was not asking anyone to, you know, to become more religious or do this ritual or do that ritual. And Baba was telling everyone that they should serve. Service to society is paramount. Everyone should serve with whatever capacity they have been blessed with. So all those things, he saw that this is what people were seeing. Because Baba was telling everyone that, you know, give whatever you can to the needy. If you cannot be benevolent, at least don't turn malevolent. If you cannot help anyone, at least don't hurt anyone. So that is what Baba was telling everyone. And he saw that this ashram, there were no priests, there were no tickets for darshan, there were no donation boxes, there was no middleman between Baba and the devotees. So all those things had some impact on him. And he saw that, you know, okay, forget moksha and salvation of it, all these religious people talk about, but at least this Baba is relieving these people of their anxieties. You know, they are all coming back out of the interview room happy. They are coming back with their heart light. They want to serve. So all this is good, and he's not asking them for money. So all these things he was gathering, you know, as a skeptic, from the people who had had interviews with Swami. So since he was talking to a lot of people, one day after returning from lunch, he saw that there was this person typing something in this small little shed, and someone told his Professor Kasturi, and he's writing Baba's book and all that. So he went and stood in front of him, and Kasturi sir looked at him and he asked, what happened? Do you want to talk to me? Do you want anything? So this person, then Ramanda said, no, see, I have a lot of miracles I have gathered because I have spoken to so many people whom Baba has granted interviews. It seems you are writing Baba's biography. If you are interested, I will tell you some stories because I was talking to so many people. And Professor Kasturi just smiled and, you know, affectionately patted him and said, hello, Mr. Raman Rao, every day Baba grants devotees to 40-50 people. Each one of them can write an extraordinary experience. If all those personal experiences have to be put down on paper, then we will have enough material to publish one book every day. Because those days, you know, Swami used to give 40, 50, 100 people interviews. So much happens. And then Professor Kasturi said, you know, we are not interested in all these miracles. What you think as miracles, they are routine thing for Bhagwan. What I am writing is only aimed at inculcating faith in the human values that Bhagwan is talking about. We are not interested in people worshipping Swami. We are interested in people understanding the human values that Swami is talking about and live by those human values. How they can instill these human values in their lives. That is what we are interested in. So when Professor Kasturi said that, that had quite an impact on Mr. Raman Rao. You know, so here was a place where there was no emphasis on rituals. Here people are talking about service, people are talking about being moral, people are talking about being good. And the person who's writing the life of Baba also is telling that same thing. And then he met Dr. Suri Bhagwantam. At that point in time, you know, he was advisor in the Ministry of Defense, so a scientific advisor to the Ministry of Defense. And Suri Bhagwantam is someone, his friend Desikachari knew him very closely. And so when they met him in the evening, so while conversing with him, so Desikachari asked him, sir, what is your scientific explanation for Baba's miracles? So when Desikachari asked Dr. Bhagwantam said, in my effort to understand them, I have closed my book of science. Sitting at Baba's feet, I am learning the alphabet of spiritualism, which transcends the laws of physical sciences. Baba is a transcendental phenomenon. So when Raman Rao sir heard this, that, you know, Baba is beyond the laws of physical science, and you cannot understand him through the book of science. And then Dr. Bhagwantam said, don't confuse religion with spiritualism. Religion promotes faith in God with rituals, but spiritualism is the highest form of science, which explains the relationship between the creator and the creation. This was something very new that Raman Rao sir was hearing. He talked about spiritualism or spirituality as the highest form of science. And he said this has got to do with the relationship between creator and creation. It has nothing to do with religion. So this was very, very fresh. And all these thoughts were going on in his mind. Everything he was absorbing, Mr. Raman Rao. And he thought, oh my God, if someone like Dr. Bhagwantam, who's leading so many scientific missions for the country feels like that, then there should be something about this Baba. So that is how something was happening. You know, Swami was working on Mr. Raman Rao at so many levels. And there are much more, you know, then there was a lot more revelation that Swami did indirectly to him before he actually called him and talked to him. So we'll continue this story in the coming episodes. Very interesting how Bhagwan was slowly and steadily, you know, chipping, touching at those sensitive parts of his heart, softening them so that when finally he touches, they will blossom. So that is what happened in the life of Raman Rao. We'll continue this very interesting story in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Dear listeners, really grateful to Bhagwan that we are doing this satsang. Listening to the stories of the devotees of the Lord is the greatest joy that we can derive. You know, there's nothing more blissful than that. Bhagavatam, what is Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is just the stories of the Lord. The stories of the Lord are so beautifully interlaced with the glories of the Lord. That is what is Bhagavatam. And talking about stories of people who have lived with the Satyasai Avatar, that is the most blissful thing to do in the current times. So praying to Bhagwan that we can continue this series in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. If you have any comments, or if you know anything about Raman Rao, or if you have had any interaction with him, if you have any pictures with him, dear listeners, please feel free, because there are so many Sevadal members across all states who have worked with Raman Rao or on various projects. So if you know anyone who has had any experience with him, or if you are aware of anything about his beautiful life with Swami, please feel free to share with us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org, or if you want to write personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, Bishu@radiosai.org. We will continue this satsang of losing ourselves in the story of his glory through the stories of his devotees. Thank you so much. Sayonara.